Okay.
Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, God, we thank you this afternoon to bring us together and to turn our eyes and hearts to focus on you, to acknowledge that you are God, and there are none beside you. Lord God, we thank you for just even the blessing of salvation in Jesus Christ and the blessing of our eternal relationship with you. Blessing of church, your people coming together to be united in worshiping you as well. And all these things, Lord, are probably the greater blessing in life, Lord, even though there are so many other blessings. So, Lord, as we come together, we want to also thank you for your word that's alive and active, that penetrates to the deepest part of our soul. We ask you, your Holy Spirit, to really move us, use what is proclaimed, and your truth, only your truth will be embedded in our hearts for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, please be seated. So, let's see. The blessing this week. I am thankful that one more guy has returned, or is it one and a half? Or Bozzy came after 10 months. The other half is Grant, I guess. He's been away a little bit, so he's a half. And so our group is a little more complete. And so one more. We want to pray that Kashik would be less busy. He's been kind of MIA because of his load at school. And so we're still hoping that he would come and join us to be our Bible study of six. So I'm thankful for that. And it seems like we always enjoy our Bible study. So that's a good sign too. So what we've been talking about, along the direction of being conformed to the image of Christ last year, has continued on to a hope for this year. So I was praying and meditating on what to hope for our church and our ministry, campus ministry, for this year. And the character of excellence came to mind. And so as I was meditating more on excellence, I realized Jesus is excellent. I wanted to do something different, but then it turned out to be conforming to the image of Christ, Christ's excellence. So we talked about, Bozzy, for your benefit, we started out with what character of Christ did we start out with? Christ's servanthood, Christ's zeal, Christ's compassion, and is fourth one the Christ excellence? Did we have one more? Oh, that's a big one. How can I forget that? Christ self-emptying. So last week, the very first hope for our church is that we be conformed to Christ's excellence. Christ's excellence. And so, and that's a message for me, as I said. Because Christ is excellent, we are also called to be excellent, as Jesus is excellent. And we probably want to kind of summarize some points and make sure that we don't forget as soon as we heard. And so, secondly, as I was contemplating and considering what to speak today, the second week of the year. So this is my second hope. So it's not on the conforming to the image of Christ. It's my second hope for 2021. Put God first. Put God first. Actually, as I was contemplating what to speak on, I saw this video on YouTube on put God first. And as I was hearing it, well, this is pretty inspiring. Yes, this is what we need to be. We memorize passage on put Christ first. But it was a slightly a different, you know, just a sense saying put God first. Of course, Christ is God, but just God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Put God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit first. And this is along the direction of my heart, especially in discipling people, because after being born again and believing in Christ, to be able to follow Jesus as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you cannot follow him unless you're continually growing to make Jesus Lord of your life. So this is related to the lordship of Christ, Jesus' lordship, Christ's lordship. So if we are, maybe I'll talk about that next week, but Christ's lordship is a character of Christ. Well, it's not a character that we are to imitate, but that's who he is. And so I said, you know, this is definitely worthy of our second hope, putting God first, put God first. So repeat after me. In 2021, I want to put God first. We want to put God first. We want to help each other put God first. So this is our really hope. And well, what's the reason? Why should we put God first? That's what I'm going to start with. And so first point is because that is God's greatest commandment, right? So let's read that together, Matthew 32, 22, 37. Ready, go. Ready, go. I left out the second greatest commandment, and that's to love others as yourself. Love others as yourself. So, but it says here, you know, a Pharisee or a teacher of the law asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment in the Old Testament, in the law? And Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And right after he says, this is the greatest and foremost commandment. Another version says first commandment. The second commandment is like this, and love one another as yourself, right? But in other version, it says, this is the greatest and the first commandment. So why should we put God first? Because the first commandment is to love our God with all our hearts, mind, and soul. So this is God's commandment, that we put loving God first. And it goes on to say, by loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul first, and loving your neighbor as yourself is the fulfillment of the law. So instead of looking at the specific of what's right and wrong and trying to be perfectly obedient, you know, if we just kind of summarize and say, what is to love God first? And love, what is to love other people as myself? If we ask that question, we know what is to complete the law. It's love God and love others. And so there's a very clear command here that we are to love God first. And secondly, because the kingdom of God is like a treasure and like a precious pearl. So we could put God first because of command. That's what God commanded us. And when God commanded us, of course, is the most beneficial thing for us. So God doesn't command us just to control us, but he created us. He knows what is what we are to enjoy, what we are made for. And in order to enjoy that, his creation must love him first. And he's not into himself. He's self-contained. He has everything he needs. He doesn't need our obedience, but he wants us to seek him first so that it will be well with us. So that it will be well with us. And so it's not only to just command us. It's like receiving a treasure. you find in the field. And like a precious pearl. Okay, let's read the next one. And okay, let's see, Yvonne, you could read the next verse.
The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it.
Do you know that we have a pearl? Well, I'm not sure if I have a pearl. My sister has a pearl. And it's a abalone pearl of about 4 inch big, and we think it's worth, depending on who's buying it, up to millions of dollars. If we could sell that, I think this building and more could be, we could even buy the next property. But to us, it's not really that precious. I mean, beside that, we have it. But I think somebody who understands abalone pearl and the rarity of the abalone pearl and the well-shapedness and the size, people who knows it, who knows the value, it could be pretty huge. So we're kind of waiting for that person. Usually they tend to be Japanese people or Saudi Arabians. So the Japanese people tend to buy expensive pearls, and Saudi Arabian princes, They tend to collect pearls too. So, but anyway, that's there. But, you know, the kingdom of God, the life in the kingdom, if a person finds it, then because this person knows this is so valuable, he would be willing to sell everything he has in life, maybe perhaps not his wife, you know, but willing to give up everything just to acquire this precious pearl. And similarly, if you go in the field and, oh, tripped over, oh, what is this? It's a box. Oh, what's inside? My goodness, treasure. The pirates left and forgotten. Pirates of the Caribbean, you know? They buried it, but then they forgot, and you tripped over, and there's like this massive pearl. Of course, it was stolen. But then if you know it's there, you want to sell everything you have to buy that land. You don't tell everybody that there's a precious treasure over there. But the treasure is so valuable, and it has a lot of valuable thing in there. A person will not hold back even to sell everything that he or she has. And so putting God first is not just about obeying a commandment, but those who have stumbled onto this pearl or to this treasure knows the value of God and the life in the kingdom, such that putting God first, you know, it's an obvious thing to do, even at the cost of just even selling. Sorry, I'm part of the frozen family. I had a rug, frozen rug. I gave it to Elise. And, but anyway, Pirates of the Caribbean, it's not only about obedience to God. This is about a person. We need to be those who personally experience the pearl, experience the treasure, knowing how valuable God is. But it has to do with personally experiencing the king and the kingdom. And of course, we know the first commandment of the Ten Commandments is, you shall have no other gods before me. So if there should be no other gods before God, that means God should be first. But if we put God second, then the thing that we put first becomes other gods. When this first commandment, which is still good, you know, Old Testament commandments are still good, that long as it brings us near to God. So you should have no other gods before you, and this is the first of the Ten Commandments. If the Ten Commandments is important, I think the first commandment is pretty important because he put it as number one. Number one, put it first. That means put God first. Well, having said that, to understand why we should put God first, I'm going to talk about this a little more at the end. Then how should we put God first? So this whole message is about how to put God first. I, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. How many is that? Oh, nine. Nine. I got nine ways you could. This is more a message on application. How can we put God first? But it's a kind of a short point, so we could hopefully go by fast. So how can we do it? I put it in the form of not seek first, da-da-da, but seek da. So number one, don't seek first people's comfort, but God's comfort first. Not people's words, but God's word first. Or even other words from other circle, but seek God's word first. Okay, let's read that together. Acts 17:11. Ready, go.
Nowadays, you are more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they receive the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so.
Well, this is more about the people of Berea. These were, means Bereans. The Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians. Thessalonians, they heard Paul and they wanted to stone him. But the Bereans, they were more noble. Having heard Paul's words, they were inspired. So they were eager to learn from Paul, but then they wanted to check if it is so in the Bible. So even pastor's words or any preacher's words, any other people's words, there's a place where you need to be eager to be a learner. If it's about the Bible, we need to be eager to learn humbly. But also the next thing you should do is be like the Bereans and go to the scripture and see if what Pastor Min says is really true. And I'm pretty okay with that. Go examine, see the points and the Bible that I'm preaching. Is that biblical? That's okay. Go search it out. But not go search it out to say, oh, I'm going to prove Pastor Min wrong, you know? But it's more like, is that true in the Bible? If it's true in the Bible, then what Pastor Min preached that is true in the Bible, I need to make this my own conviction. This is from God. Pastor Min said it. The Bible supports it. So it's from God. I need to go do it. So don't just stop at people's words, but go search it out and find out for yourself in the scripture. But it goes into even counseling. When you seek counseling, what do you seek? Do you seek, you know, the kind of the self-help books of this world? So do you seek your unbelieving friends? Do you seek your Christian friends? When you are making a decision and you're asking, you could, of course, ask your parents. So, yeah, many counsel, a person will succeed with many counsel, but you need to discern what kind of counsel. But even with spiritual counsel, then you need to go and say, what does God have to say about it? So with my counsel, I'm pretty okay if you guys go look at the scripture to verify, what does God have to say about it? In fact, if you have any questions in life, it's a good practice to say, what does God have to say about it in the scripture? So even people's counsel words, you need to examine it with scripture. So the scripture, the word of God, should be the final, by the Holy Spirit, by the way, by the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's a place for checking it with multiple mature people. That's what the church is for. You know, not making sure not left to your own single interpretation, but you have to go around and saying, what do you think? Am I interpreting correctly? Am I seeing it correctly? You need to be verifying. But the other thing is especially not just seeking people's comfort, people's words. When we're in trouble, when we're having a difficult time, help out. The first thing we do is not ask someone, I need encouragement, and I'm going through this. I know that this is common thing that happens when we're spiritually young. We tend to ask our disciples or lean on people. But as you're growing mature, you should be moving on from leaning on people to leaning on God. So even our troubles, times, and comfort, first thing we should be doing is not running to people, but we should be running to God. Amen? So this is something we could put God first. Secondly, not hopes and desires for this life, but God's eternal hope and his plan for my life first. Not to seek my hopes and desires for this life, but to seek God's eternal hope and his plan for me in this life first. That makes sense? So, you know, everybody has hopes and desires for this lifetime. And I'm sure you single people who are not married, your hope is finding a lovely woman, lovely man, oh, not a lovely man, a handsome man, and hopefully rich, you know. And you have hopes and desires of what kind of person you want to meet. And that is okay. That is okay. But sometimes being preoccupied with my hopes and desires could trip us, hinder us from seeking hope in God and seeking his plans for my life. Yeah, you know, just for example, I was just sharing to some of the guys downstairs. You know, I said, you know, my favorite fruit is Concord grape. I'm just waiting for a Concord grape. I have my type. You have your type. You might be an orange. You might like an orange. I like Concord grapes. So I was saying that for a while. And then one time God spoke to me and said, what if I want you to marry an orange? Whoa. I said, oh, my goodness. Of course, I have to. So I surrender my Concord grapes. I can say I like Concord grapes, but what does God want? And that's what's priority. You see what I'm saying? I could have a hopes and desires. This is just an example for other things, but what if God wants you to do something else? What if his plan is not Concord grape, but to be an orange or marry an orange or live an orange life? Do something else. So to put God first is to put my hopes and my desires for this lifetime, you know, as a desire, not a determinative thing. It's not finally God's will. So we want to hope in eternal matters, you know, eternal hopes in our relationship with God and eternal life in heaven. Putting that hope in eternal things first, looking forward to God's plan for my life. And, you know, there's a benefit difference. You know, you pursue your desires and goals, and you'll definitely get something. You'll get this much, I always say. If you hope in God and let him bless your life, we will get this much. It may be, you know, even earthly blessing, but definitely spiritual blessing. When we put God first and allow him to guide us to his plan, God wants to bless us with abundant life. Abundant life in Christ in our souls, but abundant life in how God wants to use us according to his plan. So I hope, yes, you can hope and desire. There's nothing it says, you know, but hope and desire in the Lord. Hopefully you learn how to hope and desire in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart, right? Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans of welfare and not good for calamity to give you future and hope. So he definitely has a a plan of future and hope for all of us. So hope and desire in the Lord, hope in eternal hope, and hope in his plan for our lives. So, you know, this is, also, again, related to lordship. These are all related to lordship. When we make Jesus Lord, then this is what we will do. And when we do this, God will be the one who guarantees blessings. His way, his way. Question is, do I believe in that? Do I believe him in that? Thirdly, not automatically pursuing my plan A, B, and C. Kind of related, I guess. Not automatically pursuing my plan A, B, and C. Some of us might have D and E. But seek God's will and trust and obey first. So we, you know, kind of grew up making a plan. We kind of experiment with life. What do I like? What do I want to be? And I decide along the way, most of the time without Christ, this is what I want to be and this is what I'm going to give my life to. And we got a set way. And sometimes it may be according to the same thing, maybe the plan of God. Sometimes it may be a different thing. But we automatically pursue my own plan, A, B, and C. But in doing that, we kind of push God out and say, okay, God, don't touch my A, B, and C. This is my plan since I was, I don't know how old. So this is what I'm going to do. Well, it could be. God's plan could be your A or B or C or both or whatnot, but it shouldn't be automatic. When we go through this A, B, and C, you got to pray to God. God, is this something you want me to do? Seek God for his will. What is your will for me in this A? What is your will for me in this B? Is this legit? God, you need to tell me what's up. And so therefore in Jeremiah 29, 12 and 14, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. If you seek me and seek me with all your heart, you will find me. You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. So the question is, do we really want to know God's will? If we don't want to know God's will, I want to just keep my plan of A, B, and C, then... Okay, well, I should seek God, but I'm not sure if I want to seek God wholeheartedly. Iman's caught it. there you go, I got my coffee here. But if we do believe that God has the best plan for my life, plans of welfare and future and hope, if we believe that, then we really want to know that. Then we will actually seek God wholeheartedly. But if I'm not sure if my A and B is going to be at risk, I'm not sure if God has a better plan in mind, there's a doubt about God, then we won't seek his will first. We won't trust and obey him first. But I hope you do. 2021, not to just automatically do A, B, and C according to my plan, but pray over it. Ask God, should I be doing this? What is your will? Is there a better way to go? I want to obey you. And just being open. What do you think? Does this make you like, whew, that's the easy way to do it. Just let God do it. Or is it like, I'm not sure if I want to give that choice to God. That might be a struggle. But I hope all of us will indeed seek God's will and trust and obey. You know, as I'm saying this, you know, this all these things apply to me. Just like the message on excellence, you know, I'm wanting to apply that in my life. I mean, this is something I want to apply in my life. Fourthly, not career degrees and connections of people. Not to seek career. Not that it's bad. Not to seek degree first. Career first, degree first, connection of people first.
But the Lord, it says Lord of hosts. Oh, it was a sovereign Lord. A sovereign Lord who opens and closes door. He is my true back. Do you know that Koreans like to use, like, in the working world, they said, if you want to be successful in life, in your career, you need to have a solid back. They call it, Koreans pronounce it like back. Baggy say that, baggy. Albert, you understand what I just said? Baggy say that. Baggy is say that means you must have back. But back, they're talking about his back. Having somebody who covers your back or somebody, it means similar to Chinese expression, guan xi. You need to have guan xi to get ahead. You know, a relationship. Koreans call it back, you know. So you need connection, people connection to get open doors and close doors perhaps. And that does work sometimes. But we cannot first trust in people's connections. We cannot first trust in degrees. We cannot first trust in careers. Thinking that as long as I get that career done, get that in the right direction, as long as I have the right degree, and as long as I have a right connection with people, I'm good. No, that should not be the first. It doesn't mean you shouldn't pursue anything, but it should not be the first. But the Lord, sovereign Lord of open and closed door, is actually my trustworthy true back, true guanxi, true connection. Because he's the one who opens the door, closes the door. How many want a job after you graduate? Some of you graduate students, undergraduate students. How many of you want your career to go well? Who has a job? You know, yeah. You know, Albert's kind of set up with the Google, you know. But you never know what happens in life, right? So anything could happen, and you know, Google just kind of crumbles, and then they have to lay off some people, and you don't know, you know, this end time prophecy here, you know, all kinds of things could happen. Could Google crumble? Could Facebook crumble? Could Twitter crumble? You know, all these very controlled social media. So, but anyway, we should be trusting in. Let's see. Go ahead and read Isaiah 31:1. Everybody read that together. Ready? Go. Woe to those who trust in Egypt. Egypt is symbolically considered as the world. Canaan is eternal life. Egypt is the world. So there, Israelites are trying to leave Egypt and go towards eternal life in Canaan, but they disobeyed. They wanted to go back to Egypt. Oh, there's no water. There's no meat. There's no bread. We want to go back to Egypt. Egypt refers to the world. And when there's horses, chariots, human, tools of power for war. But it says, instead of seeking and looking to the Holy One of Israel, seeking the Lord first. These Israelites were looking to Egypt, looking to rely on horses they have and chariots they have. Says, don't trust in horses or princes in Psalms, but in the Lord. This is basically what the point is saying, is that we should not trust in the horses and chariots of this world, or even this world, but we should be seeking the Lord, looking to the Holy One of Israel for our sustenance, our job, our life, our family. We need to look to God for first for that. Even raising up family and children. You know what?
I know that typically when people have like, I mean, I'm not sure if they, yeah, they, I'm sure they, when they get married, they look at, read a lot of books on marriage. And when they are about to have a baby, they read a lot of books on babies. Oh, are you guys doing that? Reading books on how to take care of the baby when it comes out, and then certainly later, what's going on. And, you know, I know that Alex and Conrad has done it. And I'm sure there's a lot of wisdom, a lot of wisdom. And raising up a marriage life and family, there's a lot of wisdom you can get from books. But you know, this is what I like to encourage you, marriage people and family people. Seek God first for wisdom and trust God first for your family. I would say you, as a parent, trusting God, you're connecting to God's spiritual power and blessing to come into your family. I mean, there's some wise thing to do, and you could do what you can, but not to trust what you can do. You can't even trust what you can do for your children and believe that's going to turn your child into the best way possible. Oh, you can do your best, but not to trust in it. We got to trust God. For your couple relationship, your family rearing, and most advanced here is Ed, has two children. So Ed, are you trusting your own method of taking care of your kids, or are you trusting God for wisdom and trusting God for your children? More God, good for you. It's, you know, it's a mystery. It's like, you know, there's a, the Bible says there's seven mystery or something like that. The way the snake kind of crawl on the ground, and then the way of a man and a woman is mysterious. There's other things, right? In Proverbs. And then, but I would say, it's a mystery how kids turn out. This is, I mean, I've seen like godly parents whose kids don't turn out well, you know, and there's godly parents whose kid turns out really well. A majority of the godly parents, you know, kids turn out well. But there's rare, once in a while, godly parents, kids do not turn out well. And there's, of course, everything in between. But it's a mystery. I mean, at least for me, not that I have kids. I have spiritual kids, and that's a mystery too. How spiritual kids turn out well or not is just like still a mystery to me. But what I could say is trusting God is the best way. Do what you can, but trust God that He is the one who blesses your marriage relationship or your children rearing. Amen? So don't trust in horses and chariots of this world or even your own wisdom, but trust in God. That's just eternal principle. Truth is trust and obey. There is no other way. Oh, that rhymes. I think that comes from somewhere, some song. Trust and obey, and there's no other way. Is there a song there? Okay, I took it. I plagiarized it. So, but anyway, that's a counsel for you, that you would seek the Lord. He's our back. Trusting Him is the best way to go. Fifthly, not seeking after all my options are open, but before better options come, obey God first. You guys know what I'm saying? Don't wait until all the options come unfolding, you know, and then I will make the best, you know, choose the best option as my decision. But even before the options are cleared up, even before the best options come, you need to pray. God, what do you want me to do with my life in this situation? But if you say, well, I won't make a decision until I have all my options, you know, everything get clear up. Just an example is like, there's some young people making decisions for VSAT. And they know God's been speaking to them about VSET, and I could see that they were excited at the early time through the conference mostly. You know, they get excited about, I want to go to VSET. And so they say, I think God wants me to go to VSET. But their parents start saying, no, you need an internship. You need to, you know, prepare for your career, and you need internship this summer. And so God seemed to, you know, many times God seemed to have spoken to them in December or in January through a conference. But then come near to the summer, some young people could waver. Does God really want me to go to VSET? Maybe he wants me to get internship. You know, I'm going to apply for internship and see what happens. So apply for internship, and the answer didn't come, but they need to make a decision for summer whether God really wants them to go to VSET mission for God's glory, not just VSET, but missions. And they kind of stall. I apply for internship. I'm going to wait until the result comes out. So what happens? If the internship comes through, does that mean that's not God's will to go to missions? Did you pray about it? Is God really saying, wait for the options to clarify and choose the best internship option? That's the will of God? No, you need to pray ahead of time and say, what did God want me to do for the summer already? And some of them actually did receive a guidance that God wanted them to go to missions. Now, this is not one person. This is like many people in the past. It's like, this is common. But it's not even about summer mission. It's about after you graduate. It's about, you know, what to do after something ends. You know, it's like, I want to know all the options first, and then I'll decide. But it's not, that's a circumstantial decision, not a pray-through guided decision. So before the options are open, you need to pray, what God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to give my life next year or, you know, after I graduate and after this thing is done or that thing is done? If you pray, God, I believe, will answer. Even before you get other options. And God may say, do this, not none of those options. And you need to obey before the options come. That's faith. That's faith. That's obedience. But sometimes a person makes a decision, okay, I'm going to obey God, go to VSET or do something that God wants, and then some better options seem to come. And then there's another test. Will I follow through my decision to obey God as God clarified for me, or am I going to change my mind? There's some cases like that too. There's all kinds of cases. But better is, before all these other options come, pray ahead, be led by God, and obey. That is faith. It's not living by sight, but living by faith. Does that make sense? When situations like that come, this year, I hope you will be victorious to put God first. Sixth is not when things get better and dies down, but God first now. Put God first now. Not when things get better and dies down. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't even read the verse in the previous one. Demas, having loved this present world, he deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. So he saw some other options in Thessalonica. Instead of choosing to suffer with Paul, he chose Thessalonica, the better option according to the world. Well, this one says, Matthew 6:33, we all know, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So there's always a promise of God will give all these things to us as well. But he wants us to seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. That's related with the previous point as well. But especially when we are
busy, extra energy needed in other things. There's more things going around, but sometimes the tendency is the most important things fall through the crack, and that is putting God first. Whether it be devotional life, or Bible study, or coming together, whether in church on Sunday, if rally is important enough, even that, whatever God is like saying it's a priority. But there's a message here in Matthew 6:30 about the priority, putting something first above other things. So we all need to make our priority life assessment. So what is our number one? What is our number two, number three? But we need to make priority assessment and make a decision to say, I will decide to always, whether I'm busy or not busy, things are heavy or not heavy, I want to put this first. We need to make a calm decision. Say, I'm totally in, and the best thing to do is to do this in your spiritual mind, when your condition is good. Never make decision when your condition is bad. So we all have good condition and bad condition, but when you're spiritually in good condition, that's the calm time you need to really process and make a decision. And so whether, if you're even not in spiritually good condition, that you're willing to follow that. Good to say, I'm not in good condition, but I know what comes first, and I'm going to keep that. So that's a man of character, by the way. A man who decides based on priority and commitment is a man of character. A person who makes a decision on circumstances, hardship, difficulties, you know, condition, good condition, not condition, not good condition, is a man who is blown away by the wind, like a chef. Chef is not an item or what do you call it? Brush of character. It doesn't have a backbone. It just kind of flips right there. So we need to be men and women of character. No matter when situation is like easygoing or busy or difficult or easy, things are well, or, you know, I'm in a good condition or a bad condition, a person of character does not make decision based on, you know, circumstances or their own condition. They make right decisions. And so, and this needs to be grown. You know, it doesn't happen overnight either. So you need to learn how to make good decisions in difficult times. Actually, men of character, men, women of character are made, formed, and wielded in difficult times. They're like irons are wielded, you know. Good tools are wielded through like hot fire. Men of character, women of character are wielded through hard times. How they respond during hard time. And hopefully, in hard time, busy time, difficult time, God will always be first, putting God first. Now, at that time, not until it gets better, but at that time, when situations are difficult. I hope that happens this year too. Seven, not giving my leftovers, but my best to God first. Not giving my leftover, you know, in this verse right here is Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. You know, we memorize it. Ready? You could memorize, let's recite this. Ready? Go. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crop. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will brim over with new wine. So there's a blessing attached to this again. Barns will be filled to overflowing, vats will brim over new wine, so your life will be in abundance when you do this. What? Honor the Lord with your wealth. Now this one is talking about When God bless you with wealth, you know, salary or something you earn, whose money is that? We normally think, that's my money because I earned it. But actually, who gave you the brain, the energy, and, you know, life is God. So, you know, ultimately goes to God. But God doesn't want everything. He doesn't want your 100%, but he just say, honor me with your, you know, even tithe in the Old Testament. But not even after you use everything and see if there's a leftover of tithe, but put the tithe out first. With your first fruit. So here's a call with your money to put God first. Even in your expenditure, you know, even Paul says, save a portion for me for the work at the first of the month. Is that right? First of the month. So not in the later part of the month, but first of the month. So when you make an account at the end of the month, take a portion out, set aside in the first of the month. Is that correct? First of the month? As I remember it. I think so. So here in this verse, it talks about finance. And if we do give to God first and get into a good discipline of, you know, the first tithe, you know, it doesn't have to be tithe. There's tithes and offerings, and you could get up as much as you want. But that taking out the first portion represents your heart. Represent the whole 100%. Saying, I'm just giving you this back because it belongs to you. You gave it to me. And I want to first give to you, God. So putting God first through tithing. But not only this, but even your time. You know, when do you want to give your time to the Lord throughout the day? Do you want to give to the Lord like, oh, at the end of the day, I'm really tired, I'm about to fall asleep, and then maybe I'll read the Bible or have a quiet time? Or I don't know, it doesn't mean you can't. If you have quiet time, praise the Lord. You know, that having it is better than not having it any time through the day, right? But if you're going to have it, when's better? At the end of the day when you're about to fall asleep, or when you get up and you're fresh? So whichever time it is, we might want to consider giving not a leftover of the day to God, but even the best time of the day to God, right? So the principle goes, give the best to God. Give the best to God. You know, I think I said it before. My mom, when we had the persimmon tree in the back, persimmon, you know, there's good ones and bad ones. You have a persimmon tree and your mom does that too, I see. Save up the best looking persimmon, give it to the church and the pastor. Give the best persimmon to God as an offering, and she puts it up during the Thanksgiving time, you know. And then the next set of best one, she gives it to the pastor. I've never got a persimmon. Oh, wait a minute, I did get persimmon. I'm not sure the best looking persimmon, but. So, but in my mom's heart is like, I want to give the best to the church, God. I want to give the best to the Lord's servant, God's servant. That heart attitude, what do you think? Is that a beautiful thing or not? That's a beautiful thing. So I think we need to learn. So it's not so much the pastor's great or whatever, but it's like, it's the Lord's servant. So my mom's honoring the Lord's servant. You know, my mom, I told you, always rebuked me for calling Sunday a Sunday. 일요일. 오늘 일요일이에요. Today is a Sunday. And my mom said, it's not 일요일, it's 주일. It's not Sunday, it's the Lord's Day. You're a pastor, what's going on with you? That's what he said to me. My mom used to say to me, you should say it's a Lord's Day, not a Sunday. I guess the Sunday comes from worship of sun, you know, sun, right? So, but anyway, but my just mom had a very kind of a, you know, everything is the Lord's day. You need to put the Lord first, kind of a mind, you know, that mindset and heart is something I think I need to learn. We need to learn that from the previous generation. Actually, the previous generation do have that very reverent heart to put things first for God. Amen. How about Ethiopian? Do the Ethiopian do that? You know, save the, you know, precious ones to, you know, just honor God. I'm sure they do. You just don't know about it. you're too young. Okay. So the next one is not held back by unbelief and past failures, but put God first by pressing on toward the upward call and hoping for impossible and new things. Put God first by pressing on toward the upward call and hoping for impossible and new things. So let's not be held back by our unbelief or our past failures. Sometimes our behavior and decisions are made because what I believe or not believe, or what I experienced in the past that was not pleasant. Let's not be held back by that. That should not be the first. I should not be reacting to my own unbelief or own, you know, hurts or hindrances, whatever that caused in the past. But we need to put God first by keeping our eyes focused on the upward call, hoping in the impossible and new thing, because God is in the business of doing impossible things. He's in the business of doing new things that you do not know of. You experienced some things in the past? Well, he's got some new things if you would believe in him. Not unbelief, but believe in him. Okay? Robert, read those two passages.
I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert.
See, he's going to do impossible things. He's going to do impossible in the past. That's not the first thing. Living this year, don't ponder on the past. If you are going to ponder in the past, just ponder the thankful things, not unbelief things or hurts or things that will hold us back. We need to think ahead of what he promises, you know, that he would be doing impossible and new things that we have not yet seen. If we would believe that God can do all things. In the meantime, we need to press on toward the upward call. Not that I have attained it yet in the past, but I continue to, that means that, you know, you've been pursuing it, but not have not fully attained it. So I'm pressing on towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. So we need to have this attitude of forgetting what lies behind and pressing towards what's ahead in God, trusting God, believing God, and to experience amazing new things, impossible things. Amen? Lastly, not looking, what am I trying to say? Okay, not looking, where's the form from? Looking through your own eyes, not looking through your own eyes, but looking at new identity in Christ Jesus first. So, not looking through your own eyes, Saul, he was small in his own eyes, right? That's where it comes from. Saul had a inferior complex, small in his own eyes. That's why it made him choose what the people wanted rather than what God wanted. So rather than looking through my own eyes, the smallness of my own eye, you know, when I look at myself, the smallness that I see, not looking through my own eyes, but looking at my, suddenly I went to your, my identity in Christ Jesus. And so last week I talked about 1 Peter 2:9, right? Let's read that together. Ready? Yes, I go. You know, to just, I belong to God should make us really comforted. Who do you belong to? Not to your wife or husband. Not to your parents either. You belong to God. God, you're God's children. You know, and if you belong to God, would God take care of you or not? You or not, God, we belong to God. We're God's children. You know, there should be a lot of comfort in knowing who I am in these ways, chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation. But one of the big ones is I belong to God. I'm God's people. Maybe one person, God's person, you know. So looking at my identity in Christ first, that's what we should be focusing on this year, By looking at myself in Christ, that I should see God first. God first. Okay, closing. More whys. Because this is continued. It's a D, E, and F, right? That's a continuation of the point one. Is because we have the power to put God first. We should put God first, not only in commandment, not as the best thing for us, but He gave us power to put God first. Everybody repeat after me. I have the power within me by the Holy Spirit to put God first. Don't give me any excuse. I can't, you know, I can't put God first. I'm just not doing well. Forget you, you know, you're looking at the wrong person. Your smallness, you know, your brokenness. You got to look at new person in Christ and the Holy Spirit in you. And so from last week again, by these He has given us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them, by His promises, become partaker of the divine nature, putting God first, having escaped the corruption in the world by lust. His divine power has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. You have the power. I have the power. We can put God first. There's no excuse. If you are born again Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, you can do it. Don't say, but this, but that. But no, there's no but. You need to make a decision. Also because the consequences of putting God second, I don't think that's something you want to experience. If you continue to put God second, there is a consequence of that. There's a blessing if you put God first. All these things will be added unto you. But the Israelites, you know, they wanted to go to Egypt, trust in horses and chariots. And they didn't enter His rest. So it says here, while it says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. As long as it is called today, today is the time to seek God. It's not a command for tomorrow. So we need to come to a decision that, okay, we have the power. We need to make a decision. Do I want to put God first? Am I going to put God first or not? But your answer to that determines, you know, what consequences of abundant life in Christ or a life not in fellowship with Christ. Lastly, because Joshua's excellent example. So we want to be excellent like Jesus is excellent, Joshua, and we want to bless people with excellent testimonies. Joshua made a great testimony. Okay, Ed, why don't you read that for us?
If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Whoa. This is like awesome. At the end of Joshua, after Joshua revitalized Israel according to God's law, you need to make a choice. If this is agreeable or disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve. Joshua is the man. He's the man. You know, he says, here it is. Lay down clearly. You know, whether this is agreeable to you or not, to serve the Lord, you need to choose for yourself. Are you going to live for the gods of the people beyond the river, the gods of Amorites, where you're living? Are you going to live for them? Or are you going to serve the Lord? As for me and my house, we have decided to serve the Lord. Joshua made this clear decision. And this decision is not to be laid for later on, as long as it's called today. And I'm bringing this challenge to you and for myself. Decide to whether you're going to serve the Lord or serve the God of Amorites. It's a decision we all need to make. And I hope you take this message this week, go and pray, repent, and consider a decision. You know, is it agreeable with you or not to serve the Lord? Choose for yourself today whom you will serve. That's my homework for you this week. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. The second week of the year to help hope for excellencies of Christ for us to imitate, and also now to hope for putting God first, putting you first, Lord, in all our lives. And I definitely have areas that I need to decide, Lord, would I love this or you first? And we all need to come to a decision making. Will we love the God of Amorites, or will we serve you, Lord, first? And so, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, would you take the word that was spoken and continue the work that you started here, and help us to ponder. And even before the life situations come more up ahead, that we would consider and make a decision. I will decide to serve the Lord first from this point forth. And throughout this year, that you would indeed, as we choose you first, that you would bless us with everything that you promise for those who call upon you and put you first. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.